Father everlasting, the all-creating one, God Almighty. Through your Holy Spirit, conceiving Christ the Son, Jesus our Savior.
Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to Christchurch Baldock in North Harts. My name is Chris Jenkins. I'm the senior minister, and I'm here with my wife, Becca. It's lovely to have your company with us this morning. It's great to see those of you signing in. Morning to Jordan Pike. Morning, Jonathan Boylett. Morning, Duncan Reeves. Lovely to see so many of you.
It's great to see Obi and Sarah checking in this morning. Morning, all. Good morning, Jenny. Good morning, Helen. Thanks so much for letting us know that you're watching. It's really encouraging to us here.
Some notices. It's the church prayer meeting tomorrow evening at 8 o'clock on Zoom. And the details for that are on the notices email. Exploring Christianity continues on Wednesday evening. Do join us for that. Again, the details are in the notices email. do consider joining a home group. It's a great way to stay connected. And again, details are in the email. We're conducting our AGM business by email this year, including the election of new trustees, elders and leaders. If you're a member, it's very important that you return your voting slip this week. Voting slips, plural. Please do send them in. And please do pray for Jonathan Boylett, following the death of his mother Ina last week. Please pray for the private funeral, which takes place on Friday. We'll hold a Thanksgiving service following the end of social distancing. Now let's begin with a prayer. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this beautiful day, which reminds us of your great goodness and love to us. We thank you, Father, for Jesus. Thank you that you gave him to be our Saviour. Thank you for the presence of your Spirit with us this morning. Please draw near to us. Enable us to focus on Christ, to lift him up, to glorify him, to grow closer to him, and to become more like him. So, Father, we commit this time to you now, in Jesus' name. Amen. And now Becca is going to read to us.
Let's continue in prayer and worship, and we'll start with some words from Psalm 37. Our theme this morning is believing, and this is a psalm of faith. So, Psalm 37. Do not fret because of those who are evil, or be envious of those who do wrong. For like the grass, they will soon wither. Like green plants, they will soon die away. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will do this. He will make your righteous reward shine like the dawn, your vindication like the noonday sun. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we praise you that you are the Lord and you are totally trustworthy. We praise you, Father, that if we commit our way to you, we can trust you. Even in difficult times, even when bad things happen. Lord, forgive us that we find it so hard to trust in you. We're so easily thrown off course. We so easily look around and start fretting or start envying those who seem to be doing better than us. Lord, please help us to take our delight in you. Lord, you are better than anything else. You are more lovely. You are more precious. You are more glorious than anything else in all creation, than all the things that distract us and divert us and allure us. Please, Lord, help us to take our delight in you. Father, particularly at this time, we continue to pray for the government and their scientific advisers, that you would guide them to make good decisions. We continue to pray for medical workers, care workers, and all those who are keeping our society going, that you would protect them, Lord. We pray for all who are struggling in different ways. Lord, we pray that you would help them to reach out to you and to find hope in trusting you alone. Father, we pray for ourselves. Lord, our situations are different. Some of us are with our families and some of us are all alone. Lord, please give each one of us the strength we need for the challenges that we face. Help us to know how we can best love each other and support and reach out to each other. Help us to know how we can best love our neighbours and our community. We pray particularly for Jonathan, that you would be a comfort and a strength to him, both today, this week, and especially on Friday. Lord, we thank you for the life of Ina, and we pray that the memory of her example of trusting confidence in you would inspire all of us to put our trust in you too. Lord, we thank you for your word and for your Holy Spirit, and we pray now that as we listen to your word, you would speak to each one of us. For Jesus' sake, amen.
Amen. And now Julie Jones is going to read to us from God's word.
Today's reading is taken from the book of John, chapter 20, beginning at verse 19. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands, and put my finger where the nails were, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe it." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here, see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name.
As an atheist university professor, Dr. Holly Ordway was convinced that by definition, faith is irrational. She would eventually become a Christian, but prior to her conversion, she considered faith in Jesus to be like believing in an imaginary pink unicorn. Despite her scepticism, she went on to accept Christ and to write a book about her conversion called, appropriately, Not God's Type. What does it take for an atheist university professor to repent, to turn around and follow Christ? Answer: evidence. Eyewitness testimony, which is what we have here in John's Gospel. It's often said of John's Gospel that it's shallow enough for a child to paddle in and deep enough for an adult to swim in. In other words, if you're a mere inquirer into the faith, John's Gospel can speak to you and lead you to faith in Christ. If you've been a believer for 50 years, John's Gospel still has much to teach you. This morning, we look at a very simple truth. We must believe in Jesus. A child can manage this. The most mature saint still has to do this and finds it a challenge. as John says in verses 30 and 31. Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book, but these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Do you believe in Jesus? I want to show you three things about believing. The disciples believe, Thomas believes, and we must believe. Firstly then, the disciples believe, verses 19 to 22 of John 20. We've just been looking at the empty tomb. We've seen how Jesus appeared to Mary Magdalene and how Mary rushed off to tell the disciples that she had seen the Lord. But as yet, the disciples are unconvinced. In fact, they're very frightened. Verse 19. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders. We can so easily relate to the disciples. Despite all they've seen, despite all the miracles they've seen Jesus perform, despite all the teaching they received from Jesus, despite all the times that Jesus told them that the Son of Man must suffer and be killed, but after 3 days rise again, despite all this, the disciples lock themselves in fear. In fear that what has happened to Jesus will happen to them. And we can relate to this. We're also locked in, so to speak. We're locked down, afraid to go out because of the coronavirus. Here we are, believers in Christ, most of us. We've heard so much teaching. We've experienced so much of the Christian life. And here we are, battling fear. And if we're honest, sometimes battling unbelief. Where is God in our struggles? 2006 was a year of surprises for Sylvester Stallone, the actor. First, he surprised the entertainment world by resurrecting his iconic movie hero, Rocky Balboa, for one last film. Then, whilst promoting the film, Stallone shocked Christian fans by talking about his faith. Stallone said in an interview with citizenlink.com, "I was raised in a Catholic home, a Christian home. I went to Catholic schools, and I was taught the faith and went as far as I could with it. Until one day, I got out into the so-called real world, and I was presented with temptation. I kind of like lost my way and made a lot of bad choices. Those bad choices left him unsatisfied, especially his decision to place family and career ahead of his family, fame and career ahead of his family. As a result, Stallone was increasingly pulled back into his Christian heritage. The more I go to church, he said, and the more I turn myself over to the process of believing in Jesus and listening to his word and having him guide my hand, I feel as though the pressure is off me now." Stallone realized another poor choice he had made. Self-reliance. "You need to have the expertise and the guidance of someone else," he said. "You cannot train yourself. I feel the same way about Christianity and about what the church is. The church is the gym of the soul." Faith is like exercising a muscle. The more we believe in Jesus, the stronger our faith becomes. All the time there are challenges. More than that, there are attacks from the evil one. But as we resolutely keep believing, keep trusting in Christ, our faith does become stronger. Church is like a gym for the soul. And this morning, Jesus does something remarkable for us. Look at verse 19b. "Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. What a remarkable experience. Despite the locked door, Jesus comes and stands among them and gives them peace. It really is him, verse 20. After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Of course they were overjoyed. Seeing Jesus, they believe in Jesus. We may say, well, I've never seen Jesus. Why should I believe? We need to remember chapter 16, verse 7. Jesus said, "It's for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, will not come to you." And as Jesus said in chapter 14, verse 18, "I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you." So Jesus says, although he is not physically standing among us, he has come near to us in the person of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the personal presence of Jesus. Yes, Jesus is physically absent from us, but he is very present. We're not orphans. We're not abandoned. Jesus says that his Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus, is in us and with us. John 14:17. And so, as Jesus stands among his disciples and says, "Peace be with you," just as surely he stands among us this morning and gives us his peace. And we should be overjoyed. Such joy is ours if we will do a simple thing. If we will believe as the disciples believe. And then Jesus does another wonderful thing, verse 21. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. And as the Father has sent me, I am sending you." The disciples will be sent out as apostles. Apostle means sent one. The disciples are sent out into the world, just as Jesus was sent out by the Father. And so, Jesus gives them an experience of the Holy Spirit. It's a foretaste of the fuller outpouring of the Spirit that would come at Pentecost. Jesus tells the disciples that they're being sent out. And so, verse 22, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." And that experience is just as much ours today if we're believers in Jesus. Jesus said in chapter 14, John 14, verse 16, "I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth." Just as surely as Jesus breathed on his disciples, we have received the Holy Spirit. If we believe in Jesus, we are not alone. Like the disciples, we are also sent out into the world, but not on our own. We have the Spirit of Jesus, who will help us and be with us forever. How wonderful! Isn't that amazing? And as the disciples are sent into the world, Jesus says to them, verse 23, "If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." This is an awesome responsibility, to declare to someone whether or not they're forgiven. Surely only God can forgive sins. Of course that's true. Only God can forgive sins. But as the disciples are sent out, they will preach the gospel. And those who accept their message will experience forgiveness of sins. So the disciples will declare forgiveness to those who accept Christ. and they will declare unforgiveness to those who reject Christ. It's God who forgives, but it's an awesome responsibility and privilege to represent God and to speak for God in the world. That's certainly what God expects of the apostles. And it's what he expects of us too. We will go into the world and represent Christ and hold out Christ to a world which will often reject him, but which is so loved by God. And because God loves the world, he will go ahead of his disciples and prepare hearts to receive his gospel, so that wonderfully there will be many who accept him and know forgiveness of sins. Secondly, Thomas believes, verses 24 to 29 of John 20. In 1981, Stuart McAllister was part of a mission smuggling Bibles into Eastern Europe. On one occasion, while attempting to cross the border from Austria into what was then communist-ruled Czechoslovakia, Stuart and his colleagues were arrested and thrown into prison after guards discovered their cargo. Without any idea when or if he might be released, Stuart's confinement brought to the surface questions and doubts. In such circumstances, Stuart writes in retrospect, we are forced to face what we mean when we speak of faith. How do we handle the deep and pressing questions our own minds bring as our expectations and reality do not match? I expected that God would act fairly quickly and that I would sense his intervention. When this did not occur in the way I expected or in the timing that I thought it should, I was both confused and angry. Of course, Thomas does not believe immediately. Verse 24. Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, which means twin, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. Thomas has become known throughout history as Doubting Thomas. But in fact, he's no worse than the other disciples. It's just that he wasn't there when Jesus came. Well, verse 25, the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands, and put my finger where the nails were, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." And would we have been any different? Would we have been any different to Stuart McAllister in his communist prison cell? Verse 26. A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, verse 27, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." And that's exactly what Jesus does for us. He brings us peace with God, peace for life and eternity. And he commands us to stop doubting and believe. And our response should be like Thomas's, verse 28. "My Lord and my God." Thomas believes. He believes that Jesus is the Lord of the universe, the creator and sustainer of all things. He believes Jesus is God. Thomas believes that the sovereign Lord of the Hebrew Bible, of the Old Testament, is now standing before him in human form, having died and risen again. My Lord and my God. Is this what you believe? Believe for the first time. Believe in Christ. Receive his peace. Keep on believing. Repent of unbelief. Trust in Christ afresh. Verse 29. Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." That's us, folks. We are blessed. We've never seen Christ, and we believe in him. And as the Apostle Peter puts it in 1 Peter 1:8, "Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy." That's us now. We haven't seen Jesus, but he's just as present with us as he was with doubting Thomas. And by his grace, we love him. That's what it means to believe in Jesus. It's not just intellectual assent. It's a commitment of the heart. We believe in him. We are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Our experience of Jesus is every bit as wonderful as those who saw him. Do you believe that? We have the presence of Jesus with us now. He walks off the pages of Scripture. He comes to us by his Spirit. We are filled with his Spirit. The disciples believe. Thomas believes. And thirdly, we must believe. Verses 30 and 31 of John 20. Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. John is a challenging gospel. It's taxed many degree level students with its complexity. But it's simple enough for the youngest child. These signs, miracles, are written that you may believe. What are we to believe? That Jesus is the Messiah. Jesus is the Christ. Jesus is God's anointed rescuer king. That he is the Son of God. This is the end of our striving. We simply accept Jesus is the Messiah. He is the Son of God. And we have life in his name. Jesus said in chapter 10, verse 10, "I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." This is life. This is the best life. Knowing Jesus, loving Jesus, serving Jesus, experiencing the presence of Jesus as those who are indwelt by him. And then remember what Jesus said in John 17:3, "This is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." By believing in Jesus, we have life in his name. We have life to the full. We have eternal life. We know God. We know the only true God. And we know Jesus Christ, whom God sent, who is God's Son. And so this morning, do you believe in Jesus? Are you convinced by John and his gospel? Can you see that Jesus gave signs, miracles, which reveal who he is? Supremely, he rose from the dead, conquering sin and death and hell. He did this so that you might believe. If you are a Christian, how has your believing been this week? How much have you given way to fear and unbelief? How much have you doubted the goodness of God? How much have you actively decided to believe as an act of the will, as a decision? I will believe. I believe in Jesus. I believe he is the Messiah. I believe he is the Son of God. I believe he died on the cross and paid there for all my sin. I believe he rose from the dead to show the world he is God, that he has dealt with sin once and for all. I believe these things, and I love him. I've committed my life to him. Even if things go wrong for me in my life, even if I'm disappointed, even if I'm troubled, even if my plans don't succeed, even if God puts us through the school of hard knocks, I love Jesus. Have you made a decision like that? Are you sticking with your decision? There is great peace and joy on offer to those who believe. What does Jesus say repeatedly in our passage? Peace be with you. The news can rob us of our peace at the moment. Anxieties can rob us of our peace. Things which seem dreadful at 2 a.m. are often not so bad after breakfast, but they've robbed us of our peace and our sleep. There is great peace in believing in Jesus, believing him, taking him at his word. Shall we agree together that we're going to believe in Jesus? We believe in him now. We will believe in him tomorrow. This is not blind faith. This is not a leap in the dark. It's a rational response to the evidence. John is a serious thinker and writer. He says to us, I was there. I was with Christ for 3 years. I witnessed his death. I witnessed his resurrection. John and all the other apostles are eyewitnesses of Jesus. They all died, or were prepared to die, rather than deny that they'd seen the risen Christ. They knew they'd met with God in Christ. My favourite evening in exploring Christianity is when we go over the evidence for why the gospel is true. Do join us on Wednesday evenings for exploring Christianity. Contact me for details. Do read Cure for Life, which goes over the evidence very simply. Do not stay in unbelief. Believe in Jesus. We're going to listen to a song now, which talks about believing in Jesus. Give this real thought and prayer as we sing this song together.
Father everlasting, the oak
I believe in the name of Jesus. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you that by your grace, we believe in the name of Jesus. We believe that he is your Son. We believe that he died for us on the cross. We believe that he rose again from the dead. We believe that he is coming again in glory to judge the living and the dead. And Lord, we love him. We're so grateful, Lord, for what you've done in our lives. We're so grateful for the forgiveness of our sins. We're so grateful for the presence of your Spirit. We're so grateful for the hope of heaven and for our wonderful purpose in living for Christ. Father, if there are any listening this morning who don't know you yet, please draw near to them and give them saving faith in Jesus. Lord, do that right now, we pray. And Father, for all of us, help us in our unbelief. Help us to repent of unbelief whenever we indulge in it. Help us to keep believing and trusting as we go into this week. Grant us to live for Christ with all that we have and all that we are. So we thank you, Father, for our time together this morning. We pray for one another. We commit one another to you now and pray for your blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, thank you for your company this morning. It's been lovely to share fellowship with you. Do join us again this evening at 6 o'clock. But for now, goodbye.